are so excited to welcome you to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we are starting a new series called What in the World?
Yeah.
Where we will explore topics like false teachers, music, self-love, and more. So today, we'll start with church culture, the good and the bad. We must gather well to scatter well. We will laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Scripture.
Yes. So fun.
Oh my gosh.
All right. End. Tete-a-tete.
It's me.
Yes.
It's Mariah. Tete-a-tete.
Okay. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, born ready.
I love this one because I feel very strongly about this.
Oh.
You guys, we're all big. I feel like we're big water drinkers here, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Classic Stanley girls, except for not Stanleys. Fake Stanleys.
Fake Stanleys.
Well.
Well, okay. Jordan's a classic Stanley girl.
It was a gift. Okay, but not like filtered water or tap water. Bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've all had plenty of bottled water before.
Love bottled water.
Do you taste the difference in different bottled waters?
Oh.
And if so, okay, great, good. You're both right on the first part of the question. What is your least favorite brand of bottled water?
Deer Park.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing?
So bad.
Wait, what?
Oh, it's so bad. Do the deer bathe in it and then we drink it? Is that what it is?
Have you ever had Deer Park?
Oh, it's so bad.
I don't think I know that that's a brand of water.
Avoid.
Yeah. Deer Park water.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's got a cute little deer.
Deer Park bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, now I gotta see.
But honestly, like, is that an elk? It looks more like an elk than a deer.
That's a deer.
That's a male deer, yeah.
Okay, what's an elk?
Elks are massive.
Cool. Okay, I think I have to go and try this now because I am not confident that I've had this.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Good luck to you.
I'm genuinely upset when the only option is Deer Park water.
I'll drink Diet Coke. I won't drink Deer Park.
Would that have been your answer too, Rach?
I had forgotten about it, so I was trying to comb through the catacombs of my mind. I didn't remember. I was like, no, I like Dasani. I like Aquafina. I like I don't really like the Icelandic, which is surprising.
Icelandic.
It's just not, it's fine, but it's not, Deer Park is awful.
I've not had that.
Yeah. Icelandic is okay. Smart Water I like.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Core.
The Core?
What?
Oh, in the blue bottle?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, mine. Arrowhead.
What
is the most disgusting bottled water ever.
I've never had
it. I don't know what this is.
Oh, okay. Well, we are
having like a
situation happening.
East Coast, West Coast.
Bottled water.
Oh, it's red.
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is maybe.
Yeah, I've never seen this.
Yeah, because both Deer Park and Arrowhead are both spring water. I wonder if it's just
spring water that we don't
interesting.
Like.
Interesting.
Well, no, because other spring water I do like.
Hmm.
What's the one? Maybe I don't. Maybe it is spring water that I don't like.
Yeah, because springtime's not my favorite either.
Have you guys seen the Liquid Death ones?
Yes.
Yeah, that I don't get in the cans.
I don't like
understand.
It.
The water's actually pretty good.
Okay, but why are we calling it Liquid Death?
And why is it in a can?
Because it's hardcore.
No.
It just to be different?
They're trying to appeal, they're trying to get these 24-year-old men to drink water because they don't think they need to, so they're putting it in a can that says Liquid Death.
No, I don't like that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't disagree, though, that I actually do think it's pretty crisp in the can,
mm-hmm.
but the can really throws me off.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently, yeah, so Fiji water is also spring water. So we've got Crystal, Evian, Fiji, I don't know how to say that one. Icelandic, all of those are not my favorite, and they're all spring water.
Mm. I actually like Fiji.
I do too.
Fiji's fine, but
it's
not like.
I don't mind Evian. Okay. Yeah. But, wow, that's really interesting.
That is.
Okay, so we're not really spring water girlies.
No.
Doesn't sound like it. Wow. So what are we?
We're filtered water girlies. I don't know. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fair. Wow, yeah. Immediately, Deer Park.
Yeah.
Immediately, Arrowhead.
There we go. Don't try it.
I kind of want to now to see if it's like comparable to Arrowhead. Oh, you know what I mean?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do feel like we just like bashed some brands there, though.
Hey, live your lives. Some people have Deer Park as their top. They're like, that's my number one water.
Yeah.
They're great. It is not for me.
Who are they?
I don't know.
They're wrong.
Maybe.
But it's fine.
Maybe people from the middle part of America, like Arrowhead
not
and Deer
on the
Park,
coasts.
Exclusively.
The Midwest. There we go.
Yeah.
The flyover states. Mm-hmm. We love
you. Yeah. You know?
Listen, someone's keeping them in business.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Gas stations, 7-Eleven, grocery stores.
Yeah.
But someone's buying them from those places. So.
That's true. That's true. Mm. Wow.
That was a good one. That was a good 10 to 10.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
I like this.
Good.
Let's go.
All right.
To start us off.
Woo. Yes. Okay, so as I mentioned in the intro, we are starting a new series called Church Culture, Good and Bad. Oh, wait, no. Mm. The series is What in the World?
Yeah.
Today, we're starting with Church Culture, Good and Bad.
Yeah.
So to kind of preface the intro, and all my notes are gone. There they are. Okay, to preface this episode, I want to recognize a larger issue in our world today, something that's... If you're listening to this podcast, you probably have experienced or you know someone that has experienced church hurt.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, this is something that is very common. People don't treat others well.
Yeah.
Things get lost in communication. The underlying issue is the fact that churches are filled with people who are sinners.
Yeah.
So, Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God."
Yeah.
So, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but when you are joining a church, because we are to join a church, Scripture instructs us not to neglect the gathering in Hebrews 10:25, it is important that we remember we are in community with people who are also broken, but striving to be like Christ. So, always look to Christ for fulfillment and purpose, not your church family.
Yeah.
So... what do we do when we are looking for a new church?
Mm-hmm.
So when looking for a new church or considering membership at a church, I've already mentioned a passage that instructs us to do so. We want to investigate the culture. So it's a really good place to start. So what is church culture? Culture is customs, ideas, priorities. Bible believing churches must create a Christ-centered culture.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that I, early in my faith, didn't realize I was investigating. Like, I didn't have the Christian verbiage for it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I remembered, even just growing up before I actually came to faith, but was walking, you know, with others who were also claiming Christ, even though we didn't have, or I didn't have a personal relationship with him yet, there were things that I saw in the church, and I was just kind of taken aback. The first time that I felt judged at church was very jarring, I guess would be a good word.
Yeah.
Because I had never experienced that there.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a young age, I feel like I kind of had a skeptical eye on people in the church. Not church, but people in the church.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, I was also, you know, there and was, what's the word? Oh, no. a hypocrite.
A reminder. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Mariah.
No. Lo and behold, I was also a hypocrite because I was claiming Christ. But like you said, the church is filled with sinners. The church is filled with people who, even when they believe what they're saying is true, in their heart of hearts, they might be missing the mark.
Yeah.
And so I don't, ooh, and I wish I remembered the exact scripture reference, but Paul, when he is saying, like, look to me as I am following Christ, that's what we're supposed to do, right? Like, I want people to look at my life and I want them to think, huh, there's something different, and kind of investigate me and
what I want more than anything is for people to be looking at me, investigate why, what I believe is different, why I can have joy in suffering, and then they see Christ. Like, that's the whole point. And so having a skeptical eye when I was younger grew into when I first started going to church for myself, I felt very wary and didn't know if I was going to be accepted at church, didn't know really what to expect. And the first church that I joined was very charismatic, very like exciting worship music. All are welcome. Both wonderful. Mm-hmm. But after a little while, I didn't have the depth that I wanted because it was all just kind of like reminders of things that I had learned when I was growing up. And then when I moved from there to a different city, I went to a church and all I heard about was grace. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this feels so good. But eventually I was like, why don't we ever talk about sin?
Mm-hmm.
And so coming to the church where the three of us go now, from the very beginning, the whole mission has been to know the gospel, love the kingdom, and live the mission. And we have specific series every year talking about this is why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. We have specific topics come up. We have many elders, many pastors from different walks of life, from similar walks of life. Like, the whole point is for all of us to come together, learn from one another, all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And that is something that I am very thankful for from our church.
Yeah.
So
the verse that you were talking about was 1 Corinthians 11:1, but I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:31-33, and then verse 1, because it continues. So it's talking about doing all to the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Be imitators of me as I am of Christ.
Yes.
So,
that's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so one part of scripture that I wanted to recommend everybody read. Well, just honestly, read all of Romans. Read the whole Bible, but read Romans. Mm. I'm like, one part. It's all great.
Read the whole Bible.
Just read the whole Bible.
Just do
please.
It.
It's like, actually, please read the whole Bible.
It can yourself. Be done. It can be done.
Yeah.
In 90 days, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or less.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. There are so many good tools, though. There's reading the Bible in 90 days. There's a book that goes along with it. Tara Lee Cobble, she has her, is it a year that she does?
Mm-hmm, it's a year.
Reading the Bible in a, like, there are so many wonderful resources where you are guided through reading scripture, because at the end of the day, we are responsible for deciding whether or not what we read in there we believe to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone should read the Bible. For this current moment, I want to bring attention to the book of Romans. And Romans 1 through 11, it focuses on the doctrine of salvation by God's grace through our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So the question is, how then are we saved by God's grace to live today? Talking about church culture, obviously we're going to talk about like the people in the church. And so how do we respond to his great mercy? How do we live our lives? And when we look specifically at Romans 12, it begins by telling us that we worship him.
Amen.
And so when we talk about worship, worship is our response to God. Mm-hmm. It's not just the music that we sing.
Yeah,
that is part of it. But our whole lives should be us worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, at church, but outside of church, whether we're working or raising children or cutting our neighbor's grass, like whatever it is that we are doing, we should be worshiping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look at Romans 12 verses, excuse me. If we look at Romans 12 verses 9 through 13, it says, let love be genuine. Mm-hmm. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
Mm.
And so, you know, biblically speaking, if we look at these marks of the true Christian. Be looking for people who are doing this in the churches you are visiting while you're trying to find a church or the church that you're already in. Like, who are the people that stick out to you when I just read that? Mm-hmm. You know, like, whose love is genuine? Who treats others with brotherly and sisterly affection? Those people coming together to make up a church that is founded on the truths of Scripture and that is gospel-centered, where you are hearing the gospel every time someone is up there preaching. Those are the churches that are going to glorify God, are going to bless you, are going to guide and direct you, are going to call you out on your sin in love. And, you know, they're still filled with broken people. And yeah. So we're going to be confused sometimes and have to ask questions. So ask questions. We're going to be let down even. Mm-hmm. And so we have to deal with these things and talk about them, which is one of the things that brought all of us together, was talking about things in life in light of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that has just been the biggest blessing.
Yeah. Something talking specifically about our church. I went to a dinner the other night for a campaign that we're doing, and they were kind of talking to us about where the church is headed, what the vision is for the next few years. And an exercise they had us do at our table was think about either specific moment or something that really stood out to you in why you decided to come to the church that we go to. Hmm. So I was at a table with a few other girls, and the common theme throughout all of our responses was, first, the teaching was exegetical. So biblical preaching from the pulpit. So leaders who genuinely desire to lean into the word of God and lead their flock in a way that is honoring to him. And then downstream of that, it creates a culture of community where everybody is creating friendships that are based on biblical scripture, based on, okay, I want to chase the Lord. You want to chase the Lord. Let's do that together.
Yeah.
And it's just creating all little groups of people who love the Lord, and that creates a body of people who love the Lord. And it was just so beautiful to hear each of our stories, because we're all in different friend groups, but we all are experiencing the same type of encouragement, iron sharpening iron, that kind of thing on a daily basis. And that's just so great to hear that's like the common trend throughout our church. And it starts with biblical preaching from the top, but it does lead into your day-to-day actions. So culture is not just something that is directed from the leadership, but also that the body creates.
That's good. I think, too, it's important to note that, biblically speaking, what is going to contribute most to the godly atmosphere of a church's culture is how and to what extent it reflects the character of Christ. And so scripture references for that are Ephesians 5:1-2 and also 4:22-24. And so when you consider the preaching that you're hearing on Sundays, or if y'all have sermons throughout the week, like our church does, which we love, consider what you're hearing. I think that it's really easy to slip into a mindset of, these people are the experts, and so I'm just going to listen and what they're saying is true.
They're the professional Christians.
Yes, the professional Christians. They are paid by the church to do the job that they're doing, which we're thankful, because we need people who are guiding us. We need to be shepherded, but the good shepherd is Jesus, and so we need to be looking to him. So I would encourage you, don't fall into the mindset of, I'm just going to listen and assume that this is all correct. Now, hopefully, prayerfully, it is, but it is our individual responsibility to be fact-checking, essentially, be reading scripture, be looking to God, ask him for wisdom, ask him for discernment. He will deliver, and continue to do that. Even when you find a biblically sound church that you trust wholeheartedly, continue to enter into it with, like, okay, Lord, here I am. Open my eyes, help me to hear, and stir in my heart when I should be asking questions. Mm-hmm. That's a good posture to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are also good questions to ask. Some of these came from God questions, and some of them I've just asked before and it's helped me, so I added them as well. So is the gospel preached every week?
Because
it should be. Does the church promote a godly culture that echoes Romans 12, which we read before? Are believers in the church setting themselves apart from the world?
Yeah.
Do they actively use their gifts to glorify God? We're all gifted differently. Are we glorifying God with the gifts that he's given us? Do they mourn with those who mourn? In a future episode, we will talk about the things that we don't like to talk about, and grief is one of those things. So do we come alongside each other and mourn when our brothers and sisters are mourning?
Mm.
Do they overcome evil with good? And how am I contributing? If you are just going and partaking, you are learning, you are growing. A natural response should be to use your time and your talent and your treasure for the church, for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
We are to be living, breathing sacrifices, using up our lives in service to God every day of our lives and all of the things that we are doing.
Yeah.
So I really like what you said there about contributing to the church culture and not just being consumers, because in the West it's so easy to fall into that mindset of what is this church doing for me, or can I just go in and sit in the back and listen to the sermon, get what I need out of it, and then leave, or oh, I really like the music, it really does a lot for the way I feel. Mm-hmm. And some of those things are good, because God created talented musicians to invoke feeling and emotion, and that is a good thing. But when you are looking at a church culture and you're saying, okay, what can it do for me? You're missing the point of being a body.
Mm.
So I was really into a bunch of Desiring God articles when I was in preparation for this episode. And John Piper does a great job of talking about kind of thinking about culture and thinking about it from a biblical perspective. So he had an article called Thoughts on Worship and Culture. Again, that's in Desiring God. We will link it in the show notes. So he says, a church, there is very little in the New Testament about the forms and style and content of corporate worship. Following Old Testament forms too closely contradicts the obsolescence of the wineskins. God must mean to leave the matter of form and style and content to the judgment of our spiritual wisdom, not to our whim or our tradition, but to prayerful, thoughtful, culturally alert, self-critical, Bible-saturated, God-centered, Christ-exalting reflection driven by a passion to be filled with all the fullness of God. I assume this will be an ongoing process, not just a one-time effort.
Mm.
So when we are attending a church and we are listening to the music and we are looking at the people around us, it is important for us not to be, oh, well, they don't do the music the way I want them to, therefore I am not going to go there.
Yeah.
Really lean into what the purpose and the heart behind it is. So
that's good.
Yeah. This is not an overnight process or something that you can make perfect. So as individuals, we are called to obey the Lord in our actions, and that is all that we can control, really. So Jordan alluded to it a little bit, where it's the members of the body that create the culture. So it is our day-to-day lives. It's welcoming someone in new who you haven't seen before and really making them feel like they're not the odd man out, or it's recognizing that the mother with two children is having a hard time carrying all the things, and so you're helping her get into the childcare, or volunteering and doing childcare when you aren't necessarily child driven. I don't know how to say that nicely.
Child driven.
I mean,
when caring for children might not come naturally to
you. Yes, there we go.
There we go.
There's the words. My words aren't wording today, apparently. But so there was another article in Desiring God
called Do Not Despise the Day of Small Things. And this article wasn't necessarily about church culture, but it is about obeying the Lord in our day-to-day, and that is going to help create culture. So the author, and I am forgetting his name. What is his name? Scott Hubbard. So he says, as long as we are in the day of small things, then our job is to bear the Spirit's fruit of faithfulness as we wait for God to bring the big things. Galatians 5:22-23. And our job is to see by faith all the big things right in front of us.
That's good.
So that is just something that I think it really applies, one, to this episode. We'll do another episode, I think, maybe down the line on living a day-to-day life, just obeying the Lord faithfully when it doesn't seem like things are moving forward. But
yeah,
when specifically talking about church culture, that is very important.
Yeah, I think, too, considering the rhythms of a church is really important. Rhythms, that word is actually used at our church a lot. And just considering, like, I had not been a part of a church previously where we had members' meetings. And I love that our church does that. We meet quarterly. We vote on things as a church body. We know who all is being or seeking to join church in membership. Our church partakes in discipline as far as Matthew 18 goes. Like, there are structures that are in place. There are rhythms that we have, all for the glory of the Lord. Yeah. And it has been hard to see the sin issues that rise to a place where the church needs to know, but it has been comforting to see the church as a body and our leaders call out sin, hold our brothers and sisters accountable, and lovingly pursue them to repent of their sin.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I had a dear friend in college who was absolutely against going to church because she had grown up going to a church where if they found out you sinned, they kicked you out.
That's, I was like, cult. How? That's not a church. That's a cult.
I'm like, how is anyone there?
That's not.
We all sin every day. We're not trying to, but we all fall short.
Yeah.
Every single one of us. And so many of you listening probably have stories of things that are honestly quite outlandish that have come from a pulpit or come from a church meeting or from just a Christian. And you maybe have had the thought, like, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
And so we want to encourage you, again, read the Bible for yourself. Ask the Lord, ask God, who are you and who are you to me? Please do not allow fallen people who claim Christ to keep you from him.
Yeah.
We're all going to mess up. We're all going to fall. We're all going to sin. And we are held responsible to come alongside one another, to face our own sin, to work through these things. And it's hard.
Yeah.
But we're not meant to do it alone. And so community is important. We've talked about that. Church culture is important. Like, there are so many layers to this thing. It's not just, where do I feel comfortable on a Sunday?
Yeah. Amen. I want to also recognize, so we are not living in a bubble, so leadership is very important, but our leaders also fail. So it is important to, like we said at the top of the episode, be imitators of them as they imitate Christ. So Christ is our ultimate shepherd, leader. He is our Savior. And it's just, I'm not sure if y'all saw this, but so we record these in advance. So we are recording this at a time where it just recently broke that one of the pastors that I really look up to has been removed from leadership due to an inappropriate relationship. And I'm not going to get into everything because I think that's inappropriate. We don't know all the details, but the fact that, one, his church took the steps to, yes, okay, we love you, but we are removing you from leadership because right now you are not fit as a leader. That is a good thing. So being held accountable, making sure our leaders are held accountable is a good thing done in love. Mm-hmm. And this is a brother in Christ who we should pray for and care for. Yeah. And that does not mean that all of his teaching is to be thrown away, because mm-hmm. he is a gospel preacher and he is a fallen man who sins. Mm-hmm. Those two things can be true. And where there is repentance, there is grace. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he has shown significant repentance, and we should pray for and love the leaders who fall as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's at the end of the day, I am no better.
Amen.
Right? Like this world that we live in, what in the world? Literally, like, what a great name for the series. This world that we live in, we are so encouraged to rank wrongdoing mm-hmm. and at a Christian level to rank sin. But read your Bible.
Yeah.
You know, like, in God's eyes, something we would consider horrible and then like a little white lie mm-hmm. is the same. And obviously, like, there are things, there's a lot that we could tease out there. And I mean, gosh, I feel like every single topic that we're going to talk about ever, mm-hmm. there could be even further deep dives into it. So we may just be scraping the surface, but there are specific things that we have experienced that we want to share with you all, because we've been there or know someone who's been there. And all of our testimonies that you have heard explain that we were fallen. We still are. God loves us anyway. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have a personal relationship with him and spend eternity with him.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what we need to be inviting people into with everything that we do, is eternity with Christ, eternity mm-hmm. with God in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And so while we are journeying through life and get distracted by good things, but the day-to-day things that can take our attention away from considering if we are helping to create and maintain a healthy church culture, mm-hmm. We have to pray constantly, as we're told in scripture, so that the Lord can bring us back to that, so that we can imitate Christ.
Yeah.
So that people look at us and think, maybe I should look into this myself.
Yeah.
Because if no one's doing that, if we're not worried, I don't like the word worried. If we're not
concerned with.
Yeah, concerned with, thank you, living for Christ every day, even in what we would consider the mundane. Mm-hmm. You know, helping someone cross the street, helping someone get into the church, like you said, Rach. If we're not concerned with loving others and looking at how we can love others well, we're missing the point.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us.
My dad said something. He got it from somewhere. I can't remember where he got it from. I think y'all have said it before, too. But it might have been from Tim Keller's The Art of Self-Forgetfulness. But the humility is not thinking less of yourself. Yeah. It is thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
And that is what we are called to do as Christians, because we follow a Savior who lowered himself to mm-hmm. become one of us, that he might be a perfect mediator for us. Mm-hmm. He lived a life that he did not have to live. He could have sat on his throne for eternity and been perfectly righteous in doing so, but he became as a man so that he could love us well and die for us. He did not think of himself. He thought of us. And if we cannot imitate him in that by thinking of others, then that's literally the whole point.
Yeah. And we look at the Great Commandment, Matthew 22, 34 through 40. The Pharisees are asking questions. The Sadducees are asking questions, honestly trying to, like, quote, get Jesus, like an aha moment, like, you're wrong.
That was hilarious.
Don't try that with Jesus. Yeah. But they say, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. It didn't say love yourself. It didn't say consider your own stuff and have everyone else work around the things that you're struggling with so that you can get by. It says love God.
Yeah.
And then love your neighbor.
Yeah.
So who is your neighbor? Everyone around you. Anyone around you.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the self-love episode, because like we do not have to be told to love ourselves. We no. don't. Like, it says love others as you love yourself, because it's assumed that you will love yourself, because yeah. that's our natural bent.
Yeah, it is. It is a natural heart posture. I was speaking with one of my roommates and a young woman that she's mentoring, and she asked me, like, hey, if you were to point people towards, a book of the Bible to start with, where would you start and what would you follow up with? And my answer was John and then yes. Romans. If you want to understand who Jesus is as a person, which I highly recommend you investigate, read the book of John. You are going to see who Jesus is. And then you're going to realize, as you continue to dive further and further into scripture, you're going to realize who Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. He's all throughout it. He's not just in the New Testament. He's everywhere. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see all throughout scripture. Mm-hmm. What are the four? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Mm-hmm. We see that theme all throughout scripture, and we need to be considering these things. We need to be considering, is this church that I'm visiting talking about the gospel? Are they talking about sin and grace? There's a lot that goes into church culture.
Do they love each other well?
Yeah.
It says, they will know you by how you love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do the leaders actually get in and amongst their congregation, or mm-hmm. are they set apart somewhere not to be touched?
Yeah.
That's something that I absolutely love about our leadership, is literally after every single service, sermon, series, not just our head pastor, but our associate pastors are all in the lobby willing mm-hmm. to talk to anybody who comes up to them.
Yeah. And, like, they're going on mission trips, and yep. they're going into the community, and they're serving. We don't outrank each other in yeah. the church. We are all broken people who love Jesus, who are seeking to follow him and bring others along with us.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, in eternity, we will all be brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And that's the most important relationship that we have to each other now, is being brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so love one another in that vein.
I appreciate the pastors at our church too with that regard, because they all come up and they introduce themselves as one of the pastors at yeah. the church. Mm-hmm. No one says I'm the senior pastor, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, mm-hmm. this, that, or the other. They're all one of the pastors mm-hmm. at this yep. church.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same for elders and for deacons, and every member of the body is needed, and there are certain seasons for people who have served as deacons and as elders, and they're not higher than. They're called to a higher standard because they are in church leadership. But
well, and there,
a whole other episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole, because there will be a higher
yes.
judgment type.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hey, girl.
I am here, everyone.
I knew I'd have a little bit less to say on this episode, but geez, have Jordan and Rachel done a great job, or what?
And I will say, I have a little bit less to say on this topic because I'm a little bit newer in my faith, and praise the Lord that I found Christ Covenant.
Amen.
When I did, and it was the first church, well, second church in Atlanta I went to, but it felt like a very easy, mm-hmm. very easy choice for me. First, honestly, I don't really even have a good reason besides I just felt that when I heard Jason up there on stage that he was yeah. the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have much more to say than that, versus the other church that I went to had some weirdness to it, mm-hmm. as in like some mask segregation for COVID, which feels weird to be like, you guys sit here with masks and you guys sit here without masks. That should be like a
yeah,
your own, under your own accord kind of doing.
Yeah.
And then there was a woman on stage preaching, and I at that time I was kind of like, I don't think this is the norm. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But after, you know, doing my own research, I would not choose personally a church that has a woman pastor. And so anyways, I found Christ Covenant, and praise the Lord that I did.
Because, well, and praise the Lord that you looked into it for yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been great. So all that to say, I didn't really have much to say because I am still newer in my faith, and I haven't had the backgrounds of trying different churches and the good and the bad and the ugly and the all of that. So it's really nice to hear Jordan and Rachel talk about it. And also, I wanted to say this from the very beginning, but I also don't, I was like, they're on a roll. I'm going to let them keep going. I will bring this up at one point and another. But Rachel, you talked in the beginning how the church is full of sinners, and it's just a community of broken people.
Yeah.
And recently I felt really convicted because I personally am I really, being on time is a very big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being late to things. I get very anxious when I am. And church is like one of those where I'm like, I really want to be on time to this. Cause I want to, like, I want to make sure I'm there and listening to the opening statements, and then there when we start singing and all of that. And I don't like being late. And I found myself, when people would come in late, like looking at them and not really realizing that, like, I think internally I was judging them, like, how dare you come into this place of worship late?
Yeah.
And like, it's not my natural instinct to just like automatically judge people for something, especially so silly as to being late, because who knows why they're late?
Yeah.
It could be a character flaw, but it could be something completely out of their control. And I can't remember who was talking about it, but someone was talking about it in a sermon, and they legitimately brought up that these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And like, yes, sometimes things do happen, and like we are late to things. And so when we see these people showing up to late into church, we should be welcoming and smiling at them and like scooting over for them if they can't find seats. And I felt so convicted by that. I'm getting goosebumps right now, because I was like, whoa, I was fully looking at these people like, how dare you? And now when I see people coming late, I just like, I smile. Like, you know what? You might have had something today.
Here.
Yeah. Like, you, who knows? I have no idea why you're late. Doesn't matter anyways. It's not my business. But like, I've just fully changed my heart posture on that. And it was just really nice, because it's just a reminder to myself, like, I am sinning by judging them. And I didn't even recognize that at first. But like, I heard it. Someone, not to me, but it was like the Lord was speaking to me through them.
Yeah.
And I recognized what I was doing, and I had a change of heart, and I look at it differently, and I'm so happy, because now I'm also too, like, as if I'm never late to things. Like, hi, I'm late. I was late today. I'm like, I'm late to church. I bought a freaking jacket that says whatever it said. It has
your coffee one.
Yeah. It's a coffee cup, and it says always late to church or something like that. But I did that because it's silly, because it's like, I do always have a cup of coffee in my hand. But anyways, so it was just a nice reminder. And I think with that too, it's like, another good in the church body is individuals who repent. There is one thing to sin and to be sorry, but I think you have to like fully lament and get on your hands and knees and talk to God and like be apologetic for what you've done. And if your church body isn't doing that, then that's something questionable too, I think.
Well, and I think it's important too to consider, like, for the individual who is walking in late, because sure, like, we can think on our side of it, why are you late, or like, okay, like, I should be smiling and inviting. But on the other end of it, and I've tried to be more aware just of my facial expressions, which can be tough. I think my job has helped me with it. But I have noticed, like, when I've made eye contact with someone, you know, we're all, like, looking around, doing whatever, like, worshiping. Like, I love looking around at the body when we're worshiping. And sometimes I'll, like, make eye contact with someone and then just move on. And I've noticed when I actually stop and, like, hold their eye contact and then smile, they'll smile back. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I hope that anyone who's walking in who like sat in the car for 45 minutes because they were trying to like pump themselves up to come in, like they would have been early and then they were late because they were so nervous to come in. Like if they made eye contact with just one person who's concerned with creating a good church culture.
Yeah.
And they receive a smile. Like how comforting that would be. So like, smile at people, you know, like invite people in, ask them if you see someone sitting by themselves, ask them if they want to sit by you. They might turn you down. Someone turned me down once and I felt awkward. I was like, do you want to sit with us? She was like, no, I'm good. I'm like, oh, see ya. Like, didn't actually expect to be
turned down.
And I was
Did you hear what I asked?
But like, be inviting. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I see you do very well, Mo. Like, you really invite people in and you love people really well and make people feel known and feel loved, and we should all be doing that.
Agreed.
So
yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Truly.
Well, that was nice, guys. So and we touched on it a bit today, and I think I'm excited for what we're going into next week. But
I love this series title, though.
I know.
What in the world?
Yes.
It's a good one.
It's so good. So, thank you guys so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. So, next week, we'll be continuing the What in the World series with false teachers. Mm. So, how to recognize wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm. What is the difference between someone who is just a sinner and attempting to preach the gospel and someone who is legitimately a false teacher doing the work to lead people away from Christ? Mm. So, love that you guys joined us. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow.
Hello.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.